So as you notice in the bulletin, the heading up on the left side there, it says it's the Sunday after Epiphany, and it's also the celebrated in some traditions as the feast of the baptism of the Lord. And the second scripture is, in fact, that. And where I'm going, I guess you can kind of infer from what I just said to the kids, but that's all right. There's going to be a test, so I figured any... No. So the story from Matthew of baptism. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." May God add a blessing to the hearing and understanding of this holy word. Amen. The baptism is one of those things that's actually reported in all four of the Gospels. And in all four of the Gospels, it has this pivotal role. The baptism of Jesus is kind of the turning point. It's the fulcrum on which Jesus' life balances and tips. Okay? Up until then, we know very little about him except that he was growing up. We saw him at 12 when he went into the city with his parents and kind of disappeared. And I think they got all the way home before. No, they didn't. They didn't catch it right away, but then they found him. And he'd been in the synagogue, of course, but that's all children would be there, right? Yeah. So we don't have much. Lore and story fills in his career as a carpenter and, following in Joseph's footsteps and so on and so forth. But scripturally, he just kind of comes back pops back up at the time of the baptism. And his cousin John, who was born, a little before him, and is out in the wilderness. We talked about John during Advent, and then we don't get to the baptism until later, but we talked about John. And John is there in the wilderness in the Jordan, baptizing folks who came out. And his was a baptism that focused on the cleansing, okay? The taking care of the past, the sins, the what had happened before, the schmutz, of the moral schmutz, if you will. And so Jesus comes up. And in the movie The Last Temptation of Christ, the way that Scorsese portrays that is John is standing there, and Jesus walks up behind him, and John whips around and says, "Who are you?" Scared everybody in the theater, "Who are you?" And then he recognizes, then he realizes who it is. And we have this little interchange here, and John says, "Oh no, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "No, this is the way it's going to be." Okay, and so John goes ahead and baptizes him. And then as he comes out of the water, and this is a place that the various descriptions of the baptism vary a little bit. In this one, it said that Jesus saw the dove descending from heaven, the Holy Spirit descending as a dove from heaven, and heard the voice, "This is my Beloved, with him I am well pleased." In the other Gospels, the people around also witness this, or witness it either also or instead of, but the story relates the people seeing this, which is an interesting thing to contemplate, because it's important that for what's going to happen that Jesus realize it, but it's also important for the rest of us, the rest of the people, to know what's going on as well. So This is the turning point. This is the turning point in Jesus' ministry. It's the beginning of his public and official ministry. And the first thing he does is, anyone? Anyone? Goes off into the wilderness. Goes off for a fast. And for time alone. And don't we all yearn for that in our busy lives? So in a minute, I'm going to offer you the opportunity to renew your baptismal vows. So if after that you feel like you want to go for some kind of a short retreat or some time away, that's fine with me. Okay. So he goes off into the wilderness. And I'm not going to go through the story because I think we hit that again a little later on. But in that time, he is pushed to decide what his ministry is, what shape it's going to take. Because we're told that the devil tempts him by saying, oh, if you're hungry, turn these stones into bread. If you feel like you're in danger, just go up to the top of the top of the wall and jump off and God's angels will save you. But Jesus kind of worked through that. And figured out that that wasn't the kind of ministry that he was up for. He was more like the suffering servant kind of ministry. That he was going to go and be with the people. And he was going to go and preach peace and bring caring and show caring and involve and embrace all people. Some of the biggest issues in his life, even with his own disciples, were because he wasn't going to be macho about this thing. He wasn't going to ride into Jerusalem on a war horse with weapons and a cadre. He came in on a donkey, you know, the foal of a donkey, it says, which is, I guess, is even a step below a donkey. You know? But his ministry, his baptism was the beginning of his ministry. Now, I'm guessing that almost everyone here was baptized at some point in time. I'm not going to have a show of hands. Because actually, if my mother hadn't told me, I would never have known, you know, at the time. But the baptism that we do, originally in Jesus' day, of course, everyone was an adult. Because everyone was a convert. So everyone was baptized when they became Christian, when they started following Jesus. And the disciples were following Jesus' command, go into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So they were out and they were baptized people. But then through the years, as you know, the church changed and there became people that were adult in the church and they had children. Well, I'm a little cynical about this, but I think that maybe the baptism was to try to make sure the family and the kids stayed close to the church. So they started baptizing children. But what they talked about officially was cleansing from original sin, which was the sin of Adam and Eve that was transmitted genetically through to each person. Now, I'm not poo-pooing that. I'm just saying it's not something that in the Protestant side of things, we're not big on that, okay? But the baptism for the infant was to eliminate, to take away the schmutz of that original sin, okay? So then the infant was baptized, and then they went home with their parents, and the parents made the vows, just like we do here and now and today. But it's not like that's a big change in somebody's life. Being baptized, because they're this big, they can't even walk or talk usually, and trust me, baptizing the ones who can walk and talk is not as much fun as the little ones sometimes. But yeah, that's a whole other story. So then, the church, some of the churches kept baptizing older folks. They defined adults as about 13, about the age of a bar mitzvah in the Jewish tradition. And Baptists and, you know, some other traditions do that today. Okay? And so, the Congregationalists and others said, well, you know, we baptize these kids as infants, and then we don't do anything. So they came up with confirmation. So confirmation, in our tradition, is really kind of meant to be the affirmation of the baptism, where the person steps up and says, I am going to be part of this church, and I do believe, and I want to be part of it. So that should, in fact, provide the springboard for ministry. Okay? That should be then, for us, for our people in our tradition, that would be the time that ministry is affirmed. By the way, in many Baptist traditions, parents and families with babies were feeling left out. And so in many Baptist churches, they dedicate babies. A church I served actually would do either. And so I dedicated a baby. And a dedication of a baby looks almost exactly like a baptism, except for the water. Just like confirmation looks just like a baptism, except for the water. So it's interesting how the church has tried to encompass, you know, the needs of the people and somehow find theological justification for it in some cases. But even for those of us who were confirmed, or those of us who have had our baptismal vows renewed or renewed them, sometimes it seems like it's kind of, you know. But friends, it's meant to be the beginning of ministry, or the new beginning of ministry. Now, I have a thing about the word ministry. Everybody, people want to call the person up here a minister. You're all ministers. My ministry happens to be as pastor in this church right now, okay? But you are all ministers, everyone. And so as you are baptized, that was your warrant. You know, that was your ticket to ministry. And just like you sometimes have to renew your license, your driver's license, your ticket, I'm going to invite you to do that in a few minutes. The baptism is what drives us as Christians. It's not really what makes us feel good, although it's nice to feel good. It's not really just having the music that I like, even though having the music I like is I like, you know. Oh, yeah, okay. It's not just being in the proper place to be seen with the right people. Although, of course, these are the right people, you know. Baptism is what is to drive our Christianity. Baptism brings us into the family of Christ. And that's a big family, and it's a very important family. Perhaps more important, you know, in our current social context, as we see that some people who have been being helped are likely not to be helped so much. But they still need help. And as Christians, some of us hopefully will be called to mission to help them, to be part of bringing Christ and bringing real life to them. Christ said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And so that's what we need to share. You heard a little bit about it from Sue this morning, you know. Here's this family. I mean, I can't imagine traveling from Istanbul to New York in an airplane with an almost three-year-old. You know? Just that alone boggles my mind. And here they're in a completely new place. Completely, you know, there is another Syrian family in the building, which is great. But they're God's people. They're not Christians, but they're God's people. And so part of our ministry is to them. God bless the baptized. God bless our baptisms. And God bless the ministries. Let us have our eyes open and our ears open to realize and to find the places that we're called to be ministers. Because when we do that, then we will be God's church. Amen.